Hey everyone, welcome back to the Go-Getters podcast brought to you by Go-Getter Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our friends over at On Milwaukee. A lot of you are looking to get fit, pick up some new habits, kill it in 2021, and we know that 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February, and as Justine, one of our guests, informed me, 95% of diet and weight loss programs ultimately fail. So we don't want you to fall into those majority buckets. So we're going to be breaking down a lot of good advice for you to help you get fit, healthy, make 2021 your best year, and make sustainable, long-lasting changes. So I got two awesome guests with me today. We've got Coach Ambrose, founder and owner of Miss Bebo. You're cheering me on. And by the way, since Ambrose is cheering me on for not pronouncing his name correctly, he did show up about 23 minutes late, had the lift drop him off in the wrong location. He's fasting right now. Maybe it's because he hasn't eaten anything all day. He's not thinking clearly. So we'll see what kind of advice you get from Ambrose today. Coach Ambrose, welcome. On the other hand, hopefully we have a more reliable Justine Sloan in the building, health and mindset coach. You can learn more about her on justinesloan.com. She's really made an amazing transformation. Used to compete in, not bodybuilding, her bodybuilding competitions, had 1.9 million Facebook followers back in the day, built up a big following, kind of hit rock bottom and flamed out in New York, came back to Wisconsin a few years ago and is back on her feet doing really well. Really transformed her life. So we'll learn more about that. But on a serious note, we do have two great guests with us today. So thank you guys for stopping by. Diving in, as I said, most New Year's resolutions fail right away. Most diet programs fail right away. Can you guys just address why this is?
Well, I would say the biggest mistake that people make is just being way too extreme, going way too hard, expecting way too much of themselves, and trying to change too many things all at once. And as far as diets failing, as I mentioned, 95% of diets fail. Oftentimes people will fail on a diet or give up, again, because it's way too rigid. It's just not sustainable and people don't want to live that way. It mentally and physically sets us up for a backlash. So actually restricting yourself in any way, I always give the example of, like, even if someone were to say to me, you can eat anything you want, but you can't eat brownies. Then I'm like, well, now I want a brownie. You know, just like human nature, we want to do what we're not supposed to do, right? Or like once you restrict something, you want it more. And actually from a physical perspective too, when you start to drop your calories and you're dieting and you're in too much restriction, your body's hormones change to actually help you survive and make sure you're not starving to death. So you'll actually start getting signals from your hormones to craving foods, typically more sugary, high carb foods, high fat foods. So again, going on something really restrictive like a diet mentally, physically sets you up for a backlash, which typically happens and ends up with people overeating, falling off the wagon, binging, which makes them feel like a failure and feel like crap about themselves. And it kind of just starts this whole cycle of, you know, a lot of times you see it, people will do that on the weekend and then they're like, okay, I'm going to be so good starting Monday. But then again, Monday is way too strict and not realistic. So my big thing when I'm working with clients is I'm like, I want it to be easy, sustainable, and fun. Because if it's not easy, it's really hard to stick to. Obviously, sustainable, we all get that. And fun, because I'm like, I want whatever I'm doing, I want it to be a good time. So I really try to help people make changes in like small doses. And I always say small hinges swing big doors. So just picking a couple things, a few habits, and then building on top of that foundation, I think is really so much more helpful than the extremes.
I would say they don't have the habits, right? To make a change takes habits. So if you make a diet change, what's the habits of a diet? Simply things like shopping. Do you shop for food? What about, do you cook already? Or do you store your food? How do you plan restaurant trips or meetings at work, right? Things like that. So I'm focused on the real basic, maybe the hinges, the small habits that can swing maybe a big transformation. Yeah. So I think people don't have the habits of their goals. They just get excited about the end result, but the process of it all are the habits you have to do day in and day out. So I think habit change, understanding how habits actually work, would help people with their goals a lot better.
Yeah, and Ambrose, do you... when you say people are looking at the big vision, does that typically seem just so far away? If people are 30 pounds overweight and they're aspiring to have a six pack or achieve some or run an Ironman or something like that. And then they're discouraged after the first few weeks because they're nothing close to that, and no shit, they're nothing close to that. They have a long way to go, right? And that's why you focus on, yeah, building those habits and making sure, hey, let's get from zero to one, and then we'll get from one to two.
Yeah, and I think as a trainer, as a coach, that's really been my journey, right? So I get excited too about the end result, right? Yeah. But not realizing people don't have the habits. They need to be able to be excited every day. So I got a client right now that's been on probably a 12 months with me right now, but he only wanted 3 months. I'm like, cool, let's do 3 months. No, he's going to do six. Then you got the six, and he's like, let's do nine. All right. Now he's just now getting off the training program this month, but I had to keep it in my head that, all right, I know he's going to want to do more, but I'm giving him the habits for his first 3 months. And when he's ready to do more, we'll do more then, because most people can't look out a year at a time or even 6 months at a time. It's too much time for people to get excited about.
Yeah. And Justine, you touched on this a little bit with the rigidness that people think they need to obtain since day one, but what are some of the misconceptions that people have when they're trying to get healthy, whether it's physically or mentally?
Yeah, I think, again, with the rigidness, it's like the black or white extremes. And actually, a really good example is even like holidays. Like, I used to be so, so strict. And then like on Christmas, I'd be like, oh, I better eat everything, get it all in, like, which really makes no sense at all. Like, you know, it's only going to hurt you the next day. Or the whole idea of a cheat meal, like, I really hate that term, because I'm like, who are you cheating on? Like, it's you versus you. You know what I mean? Like, it's, so I always tell people, like, get out of the black and white thinking and like make peace with the gray, like find some balance. And again, like, not every workout has to leave you dripping in sweat, sore as hell. Like, you can walk some days and just get some gentle movement in, listen to your body. And really the same with food. It's like, now I enjoy pizza and beers and Mexican food and ice cream and whatever I want, but it's all kind of just mixed in. And even thinking like 80-20 principle is a really great way to go. And I give the example of like 90-10 principle. That would be like 90% nourishing, wholesome, nutritious foods, 10% whatever else, all that kind of fun food. That would look like, you know, 90% of a year is 36 and a half days of that 10%. And I'm like, I don't suggest going and doing all of that right at once. But again, if you go to even 80-20, that's going to be so good for you. You're going to see awesome changes. And that really allows you to still have a lot of those, you know, enjoyable dinners out or at social occasions, have some drinks, have what you want to have some desserts. But when you're not doing such a black and white approach, again, you can mix it in and it all just feels like this balance 365 days a year.
Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and if you haven't entered our big giveaway yet, we are currently giving away $1,600 worth of prizes. You can head to ggmm.io and click on the Go-Getters tab. That's our website, ggmm.io, and just head over to the Go-Getters tab. We're giving away $100 gift cards to local businesses of your choice, a Pod Playbook membership, these really cool GGMM bottles to thank you guys for all your support. So make sure to head over there, ggmm.io, click on the Go-Getters tab. And thanks again for tuning in. Let's get back to the show.
Why did you get into coaching, and what kind of personal transformations have you both gone through?
Yeah. So coaching was for me was for football. So I played football in college, natural progression to coach football afterwards. And picking up personal training was a way to be a better football coach. That stopped working out football coaching, so I just kept personal training. Met some really smart people that said, you know, what are you doing just being a personal trainer? And at that point, I took a little bit of offense to it, but at the same time, it was a recession. So I'm like, cool, what should I do? And the guy said, you start your own company. That's where I came up with the crazy name of Spebo. And just been stumbling forward ever since then. So I picked up nutrition after personal training because I was selling supplementations for a while. That wasn't really working. It was just vitamins and pills. After that, I picked up meditation. So this, for me, has been like a natural path of wanting to get better as a person. And that just lends into what I do as a coach.
Justine, what about you? Can you talk about your personal transformation, why you kind of got into the bodybuilding scene, and then how you flamed out and how you've gotten to where you are now?
So it's kind of a long story, as you know, but to make it short, by the time I was 7 years old in a doctor's office, my doctor was telling my mom that I was too heavy for my age. And so at 7, 8 years old, I really solidified that something was wrong with my body. And, you know, I was inadequate because I was too big, too heavy. So, and at that age, you know, especially in the 90s, it was like, we didn't have the information around nutrition either. So I didn't know what to do with it. So finally I lost weight in middle school. I kind of like put two and two together, started calorie counting, running a lot, lost weight, got praised for it a lot by the age of 13, a lot of praise. So again, especially as a woman, I really solidified that to be valuable in the world, I first needed to be thin and look perfect. And that became the most important thing to me. So I became really, really obsessed with working out, dieting, all that stuff in high school and college. And then in college, that's really when I found fitness. I started working front desk at a gym. There were like over 30 trainers there, this big gym in New York. And I started learning all kinds of stuff about kind of like sports nutrition, supplements, weightlifting for the first time. And I was like obsessed because it felt like this healthy way to control my weight and get the body that I so desperately wanted, like the covers of fitness magazines, those fitness models. So got really, really obsessed. 1 year later, I became a personal trainer at the gym. And then from there, it just kind of kept, you know, building on top of things. And I felt like to be a trainer, I wanted to also be a billboard for my services. And I decided to enter this, it was a bodybuilding competition, but I did the bikini division, which is more of that like toned fitness model look, beach body look. So I thought it'd be one and done, like I'd do one competition and be done with it. I ended up doing 19 shows in 4 years. I got a huge sponsorship with Metric. So I was actually getting paid to compete and train for these shows and fly around the country. I was getting flown places and all expenses paid, fitness expos, like signing autographs on fitness pictures and stuff like that. My Facebook page, as you mentioned, grew to 1.9 million following it. But underneath all of that, I wasn't taking care of my health at all. I even got shingles at the age of 27. And then later that year, I was diagnosed with severe adrenal fatigue, which is something I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy. You are like, you can't do anything. You can barely function.
What does that mean?
So it's my thyroid had also shut down. Thyroid and adrenals work together, but adrenal fatigue is basically like your adrenal glands are shot. And there's different levels. Mine was very severe. It was like stage three, they called it. So basically you have such terrible like brain fog and like no matter how much you sleep, I'd sleep 8, 9, 10 hours. I'd still wake up so exhausted, like cannot think straight, can't do anything. Like I couldn't even return emails.
Was that because you were just depriving your body from what it needed and overworking way too much?
Yeah, way too long, overtraining, over dieting. The supplements I was taking were, again, not healthy. It wasn't good for me. It was all just to look a certain way. And then the stress and the pressure, because as soon as I got signed and had that contract, I was like, now I'm getting paid to do this. And I would get a bonus if I would take first, second, or third. So I was just, you know, and again, all coming from this little seven-year-old inner child that didn't get validated or, you know, didn't feel lovable because I felt fat. Like that was my, that was really driving the car, like running the show at the time. So it was still coming from this place of self-hatred. And there was just, you know, again, tremendous pressure on myself, which like we were talking about before this, you know, I was in fight or flight all the time. I was always anxious, anxiety through the roof, just so stressed out, really miserable, no healthy relationships in my life. So, you know, everything just fell apart. And that was really the biggest blessing in disguise because I had to stop competing. So I had to take a step back and figure out like what's going to make me healthy, what's going to bring my stress levels down. And so that's when I decided to move out of New York and back to Milwaukee. And I never thought I would be back here, but now it's been 6 years. And as soon as I got back, it was like piece by piece, I started figuring out what made me feel happy and whole and started working on myself really from the inside out. And then once I did all of that and got to a good place, and then also I had to start learning how to eat for the first time because it had always been these diets, meal plans, like super strict. So I finally started seeing that like, wow, I really can have balance. Again, I can go out and have a few beers. It's not the end of the world. And so once I kind of found my approach to eating that really worked well for me and felt so much better about myself, really figured out the self-love piece, I felt like I wanted to transition out of fitness and personal training and really help women do that. So doing the inner work so that, again, it's not about the food, it's not about the meal plan, it's not about that perfect workout program. Those things are all awesome, you know, finding your rhythm with that. But ultimately, you've got to work on the mindset stuff. You've got to work on what's going on in the inside first.
And for other people going through their own version of what you went through, and Ambrose, feel free to chime in too. What kind of advice do you give them? What helped you become a much happier and healthier person now than you were when you were getting all this fame?
I think realizing that the external things aren't going to make you happy if you don't fix what's going on in the inside. And like, really, I think shifting the internal conversation, the story I was telling myself about myself, the narrative, and, you know, and the thoughts about myself too, like my self-talk, it's completely different now. Again, the way that I talk to myself just in my thoughts. And but I think too, like, I had to chase all those things because I thought that would make me happy. And I'm kind of glad I got them to the extreme to realize like it doesn't. And I mean, being the way that I am, I don't know that I could have learned that from anyone else. I kind of think I just had to go through that. And so for other people, you know, I hope my story helps, but I also understand that sometimes you just have to figure it out yourself, that these things you're chasing, whether it's money or accolades or, you know, the perfect body, ultimately, you know, if you're not working on the inner stuff and you don't have healthy relationships and a healthy relationship with yourself, it's really not going to make you happy, no matter how much you think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of get it. And then you get that dopamine hit, and then that wears off pretty fast. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. It's like, is this it?
Right. Right. We've obviously been through a pandemic the last 8 months, and stress levels are at all time high. I'm guessing a lot of people, including some of our listeners, have let their health slip a little bit. Ambrose, can you talk about the mentality that you've kind of taken into COVID, and what you're telling people as far as use this as an opportunity?
Yeah, so it was interesting because in 2020, right in the beginning, I said I'm doing mental performance coaching this year. It's a different type of energy. So I'm in a school, you know, I'm a meditation teacher. I'm a lot more calm. I'm a calm person in general, but I think people don't know that I'm also an athlete, and that's a different type of energy. So I think, you know, I try to focus on is being calm, but also alert. Then I'm focused, right? So it's not just like being laissez-faire. So remember right when it hit COVID, people had those two different thoughts about how to be either going to come out of this better than you were before, or so people were like, no, let's X that out and put healing. People were talking about healing a lot. People need to heal over COVID, and you have to worry about working harder. And I'm like, you can do both. You don't have to pick one or the other, right? So I like to think about it as doing sprints. You know, so I had a sprint, you know, with Richie and his team. You know, I was going to do this podcast. It's still coming. And I was sprinting towards that. And then all of a sudden, something else came up. I sprinted towards that. And then I would take a break and I would sprint again. So my goal was to come out of COVID way better because I had way more time. You know, with the Zoom meetings back to back at home, there's no driving or walking or Ubering. You're just at your house. So I was like, I got an extra 2.5 hours every day now that I can put towards the podcast or put towards learning a new skill. And I was felt a little bit bad saying that out loud to other people, because people are going through a tough time right now. So the work that I do primarily is creating space for people to show up, connect, be able to empty. And, you know, I hold that space as a meditation teacher, you know, and I receive it. But then it's also like, okay, cool. What do you want to do now? Like, after you've emptied, like, do you want to do the thing that you're complaining about? If you want to do that thing, we can start making small habits to get there, right? So for me, I went into it like, this is like over that game, you know, game seven, the athlete mindset, like I'm gonna figure it out. And for people who aren't able to do that, again, there's no judgment. You know, that your game seven might be you chilling out with the family, not working. Who knows what that looks like for other people? But for me, it was like, I know for where I'm at in my life right now, this is a blessing to be able to have time at home to work and inner work and outer work. So I went into it really, really, really fired up.
Yeah, absolutely. Justine, do you notice any differences during COVID or how people should be handling this pandemic?
Well, I would just say the one thing to really keep in mind across the board is that for humans, change is such a threat. And like, to the brain, our brains hate change. So obviously there have been so many changes this year. So I think just everyone, you know, really being compassionate with themselves, with others. I think a lot of people right now are just like really tightly wound because there's been so much going on.
It's tough out there.
Yeah.
For 90% of people. And I don't mean to interrupt, but it's interesting, this narrative that we're getting fed a lot. And we've had a couple people on the podcast, like David Kohler, CEO of Kohler, was on a couple months ago, and he broke it down interestingly because I asked him, hey, the market's at an all-time high right now, yet most of the country is in shambles. And he was like, well, yeah, the stock market is a reflection of the 1% of the country who's the least affected by this. And yeah, a lot of other people are struggling. So I think it's tough for people when they see a certain narrative painted somewhat in the media, or they look at the market, and you know, it's a tough climate out there for a lot of people who've been laid off, for small business owners. I know here we've had to adapt and pivot, and we've made a lot of progress, but are going to come out a little less than last year when we were anticipating a bunch of growth. And it's I think being compassionate and recognizing, yeah, you be the best version of yourself and you'll be stronger long term because of it, but it is a struggle for most of us right now.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And I think like it also, so many distractions have fallen away. And it's like, if you hadn't been already, obviously all of us, we do inner work and mindset work and all of that. So, but I think if you're not used to doing that, like having to sit with whatever is going on in your life and really take a hard look at it, like I think it really magnified everything going on. So if your relationship is great, it was probably an opportunity to make it even better. Like I know I'm really blessed and I feel like my marriage has gotten stronger, but if you're not happy in your relationship and all of a sudden you start to take out social events and you take out going to work and you take out all this stuff, like it magnifies that. Yeah. So, and same with just, again, like the inner conversation and what's going on with you. So many people are not comfortable getting still and being with themselves and being with their feelings and their thoughts. And that's the last thing a lot of people want to do. I mean, I know we're all about it. Like we live for that stuff because it makes such a difference. But if you're not open to that kind of thing, I think that has been really, really hard for people this year too.
Yeah, it is hard, especially in this day and age when we're getting pinged by every social media platform all the time. And you're hitting refresh on your iPhone every 5 minutes, or I don't know what the stat is, but it's high up there. In that meditation stuff, like I got into breath work last year because I was having a bunch of anxiety issues and I needed to do something out of desperation. And I thought it was kind of goofy going into it. And then I, you know, started doing it and I was like, oh shit, this makes a big difference. And I still don't enjoy doing it, but I understand for me to, you know, be the best version of myself and to get that anxiety baseline lower, like it's something if I do 10, 15 minutes a day, I'm much better than when I don't do it. If I go to the gym first thing every morning, I'm much better. I feel much better throughout the day than if I don't go. So yeah, I think it is just picking up those little habits.
I enjoy your episode about that. You know, I think it was, you were flying. I forgot where you were flying to, but people hearing that, you don't have to like it. Like that's good. You know, people assume that you love to work out because you were a professional, that I love to meditate because I'm a meditation teacher. That's not the case. I'm not a trainer because I love working out. I'm a trainer because I have some skills that people thought would be useful for football. And I agree with that. And it's kind of gone along the way with it. So you don't have to like breathing practices, but you breathe already. Do you want to be in control of how you breathe to feel better? And again, when you give a child that choice, they take that because it feels better.
Yeah.
So I think if we as adults can just be okay with things not feeling good, and just doing it anyways, we'll be a lot better off.
Yeah, and for me, I won't go through my whole routine I do most days, but I got that, you know, that board on Instagram I post every week. I try and get my check marks in certain areas, whether it's not drinking or hitting the gym or, you know, that breath work or my golf drills and stuff like that. But in a lot of ways, it's like, you know, I spend 2-3 hours a day doing shit that I do not like doing, but that makes me a better person. And then I feel much better the rest of the day. And yeah, I get much better, exactly. You know, when you put those habits in place and you actually start seeing some results and improvement, which you need patience because usually nothing happens as fast as you want it to. It just typically doesn't. You get the momentum going and you as long as you're getting a little bit better every day, every week, you're going to be doing well. Do you guys have any closing advice for people looking to make 2021 a great year mentally, physically?
I would say, again, start small, you know, pick a couple things, you know, even a little bit more movement. Again, if you want to start moving more or get back to the gym and you're right now, honestly, going 0 to 1 time a week, you know, don't go to 6 days a week, make it like 3 and or drinking more water, or a big thing that I like to suggest for eating too is adding more good stuff. So I say, like, you know, crowd out the bad. If you're saying like, okay, I'm going to have a smoothie 5 days a week, that's actually something I personally try to do, because I know that what I pack into a smoothie has so many good things for my body. And, you know, if I'm having that at least, you know, most days, then it kind of crowds out room for the other stuff. So, you know, picking small, simple habits that you can stick to. And then the other piece I would add is accountability and figuring out what kind of accountability you need. There's actually a quiz I give all of my new clients. It's called the Four Tendencies Quiz by Gretchen Rubin. And she's got a whole book on it, but you can just take the quiz online and quickly learn which of the four you are. But a lot of my clients come to me because they're obligers. And obligers are like, I was always the first person at track practice, but I cannot make myself run for the life of me, because they show up for others, but they don't show up for themselves, no matter how bad they want something. So it makes sense that they come to me, they hire a coach. And so again, looking at, you know, who are you? What kind of accountability do you need? And then setting that up for yourself so that if you are someone who needs a little extra support, then you're either in a group or have an accountability buddy, or again, you're hiring a professional to help you get where you want to go. I think that's so important.
Yeah, that's really good. To piggyback off the breathing, you know, things like better golf swing, things like meditation, things like being a getting a better body, they do take a long time, right? But your breath is immediate. Like, hold your breath for a few minutes and you'll feel it, right? So getting those quick wins, I think, are super important, whatever you're doing. But breathing is one really, really easy, simple. And easy, I'll say easy too. Simple, easy way for you to control your emotions and your thoughts. And I think piggybacking off of Justine, if you think that you can't do it, then you're not gonna be able to do it. You already breathe anyways. You understand that when you are upset, you breathe a certain way. It's a question, if you're happy, how do you breathe? Well, how about you breathe like you're happy and see if it makes you less upset?
Yeah.
And for the most part, that's how it works.
And that can trick the brain, right?
Yeah, so it works that way. So I would say, you know, doing things that are really far off in the future are hard to do. So if you talk about meditation, that's hard. I don't suggest people try to meditate right away. That's different than doing breath work. So breathing can be meditative, but it's not meditation. So I would say, if you're looking to manage your stress, meditation may be in the future, but right now you can do breath work. You can do one breath, two breaths, 2 minutes of breathing. It completely will shift your mood. You have free apps for it, free YouTube videos for it. Find a coach, get accountability partner, and you don't have to love it. You don't even have to understand how it works. Just do it, experience it, and you'll feel the difference right away.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming on. Where can people find you if they're interested in working with you or consuming some of your information?
My website is justinesloan.com, or Instagram is my favorite platform to hang out, and that's at the Justine Sloan.
Yeah, I'm at AmbroseWB1 on, I think, all, not most social media places.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.